I know it's here somewhere.
Finally.
Oh, it's time for the cup. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, Doctor.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in.
We hope you enjoy the show.
Yeah, we hope you enjoy the show. I am just so frustrated and curmudgeonly because I just did a 30-minute podcast, a Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon 30-minute podcast, and my software crashed. I lost it all. Okay, but I'm not going to let it get me down, because you see, when I did the podcast just moments ago, an entire 30-minute podcast that you will never hear because it is lost into the bitness of computerization, I was very frenetic and bouncy and jumping up and down and bouncing off the walls. As a matter of fact, I even invoked the image of a Super Ball. If you remember the Super Ball from the days of yore, when it bounced, and it would bounce as high as you normally bounced it when you bounced it, and it would just keep bouncing and bounce all over the place, bang, 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 boom, and bounce off your head, and things of that nature. And that's what I was comparing myself to, was the bouncy Super Ball. But now I'm kind of down because I just did a podcast and it got blown up by my software. You see, Pod Producer is in beta. It is not fully released. And yet, for the last 3 years, I've been using it to do the podcast. And normally it does very well, but I think I confused its mind in some strange fashion, and it popped up with a little message that said, "The program has crashed. Would you like to report it to the guy who wrote it?" And I'm like, "The guy who wrote it, I'm going to strangle him." But I didn't say that. Actually, he's a very nice guy. He's in Mexico. Nice guy. I host his website. You know, good stuff. But that's just so frustrating. It blows my mind. Anyway, the reason that I was so jazzed, and I will try to reach deep into myself and pull out the jazzedness so that I can remain jazzed, whatever that means, is that I found some geek culture. Now, it's ancient vintage geek culture from a Weird Al Yankovic album many years old. Almost exactly 20 years old. Well, it'll be 20 years next month. And next month, not next month, next year. What do I know? Anyway, the point is, it's a song called Attack of the Radioactive Hamsters from a Planet Near Mars. Now, that's just odd and random. And therefore, I have to like it. So let's listen to Weird Al Yankovic. An attack of the radioactive hamsters from a planet near Mars.
Planet near Mars. Oh yeah, a planet you Mars. Yeah.
Good old Weird Al, he always comes up with something very odd, and I like odd and strange, but I am still bummed about the last podcast getting wiped from the universe. You see, I was talking on that podcast about the fact that I thought it was podcast number 133, and then I looked and it looked like it was really 132, but it really was 133. See, I think the stars are somehow convoluting it into a matrix to form a strange anti-Dr. Bill retrowave doohickey that somehow messed up the podcast. I really liked that podcast. It was going very well. It was odd and it was random, and I liked that in a podcast, you see. But it was not to be. There were so many interesting references in it. I even talked about Hardware Wars. During the podcast, as I was doing the podcast, I went to YouTube and found out that you could watch Hardware Wars right there on YouTube, Part 1 and Part 2, and watch the entirety of Hardware Wars. I would encourage you to do that, because it's very geeky and strange and odd, and I like it. It's a film by Ernie Fasilis, and it's called Hardware Wars. It's a parody of Star Wars, and it's very cool, but I digress. Boy, I am just so bummed about losing that podcast. I've got to get over it. Get over it! Just get over it! Okay, I feel better now. Anyway, I've got to move on. I've got to dredge myself out of the doldrums of losing the podcast and move on. Okay, let's do that. So here's the thing. Oh, man. Lame. So I guess what we'll do is we'll just proceed with the podcast as though nothing happened. Yes, indeed, that's the Geek Software of the Week drum roll, and it means that the Geek Software of the Week is here. The Geek Software of the Week is Cute PDF. I had somebody send me an email that said, "Hey, Dr. Bill, I've got to do a PDF. How do I do it? I don't know how, and I don't want to buy Adobe Acrobat for $500 just so I can do a PDF." And I said, "Dude, you don't have to do that. All you gotta do is download Cute PDF. First you download Ghost Script, which is hard to say. It's a play on words of PostScript and new, GNU, news not Unix, and it's just very confusing. But anyway, download Ghost Script and install it, and then install Cute PDF, and you'll have Cute PDF goodness on your system. All you gotta do once you do that is, any document you have, you click on it and click print, but instead of sending it to a printer, you send it to the Cute PDF doohickey that looks like a printer in your print subsystem. That's a technical term. And it will then print out as a PDF file, and you'll have a PDF of your document. How cool is that? Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention a few things. First thing I forgot to mention is,
this podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. TechPodcasts.com. If it's tech, it's here.
Yes, if it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. And you just got an example of that with the Geek Software of the Week Cute PDF. So there you go. We also, technically, officially, are also members of Blueberry.
Blueberry.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Oh, yes, Blueberry.com. And as you know, we'd like to advertise for other podcasters that are a member of Tech Podcast Network and Blueberry.com. And this week I have a promo that I like to play a lot because I really, really like it. It's a fun, silly promo. And it is this.
Smart. Yes. Geek. No way. Paige Isinger is the anti-geek.
Oh boy, here we go.
Now there's expert advice that speaks your language, discussing issues that impact your world from a smart chick with a point-blank point of view. Views from the Coop with Paige Isinger and friends.
There you go. Paige Isinger and friends with Views from the Coop.
very strange podcast, but you know, oh man, I'm just so drained. All the energy is drained out of me because I put all of the crazy, strange, energetic weirdness into the last podcast that vanished into the ether. I think I'm going to call this the Vanished into the Ether podcast. I don't know why. Sigh. Anyway, if you hear occasional weird noises, it's because the Game Master and his cousin, who happens to be a vampire, is over there on the couch. And half vampire? You can't be a full vampire? He's like kind of, sort of, one tooth, you know, vampire. Anyway, the point is, they're over there and they're playing video games, and so the occasional squeal, chill, skrill, screech. I can't even speak words. Anyway, the point is, if you hear weirdness coming from over there, then you will, yeesh, you'll know what's going on. Anyway, I'll hit my yardstick on the floor and just move on. Anyway, I'm just so bummed about the get over it. Okay, anyway, so let's go back to the blog, shall we? The blog is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, drbill.cc. And don't forget that we have a wonderful sponsor, which is Citrix Systems. They write many good programs, and I actually administer Citrix Systems programs all the time at work at High Point Regional Health Systems, where I work during my day job. And that's a good thing. However, their program called Go to My PC is awesome, and you need to check it out. Go to my blog, go to the upper right-hand corner, click on the little logo thingy there for Go to My PC, and you'll get a 30-day free trial for Go to My PC, and that is cool, and it's free for 30 days. Check it out. Do it now! Do it while you're listening to the podcast! Do it or I'll hit you with this yardstick that I'm hitting the floor with! And occasionally hit myself in the head. Ooh, that was good. The sympathetic vibrations that set up through my head are actually helping. Anyway, the point is, do that for me. Also, remember that there's a little link there for the Shameless Commerce Center that will take you to the bottom of the page, and you can check out all the advertisements at the bottom of the page, including the one that is a free half-off Blockbuster kind of, you know, video through the internet deal thing. Check that out. You will enjoy that. Half off. Man, 30 days free for Go to My PC, half off for Blockbuster. The deals just don't stop here on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. Anyway, the point is, that will help the cause. And you know we are part of a giant cause here at Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. The cause this week is to get out a podcast without having it crash like the last one did. Rah! Anyway, next item. Ubuntu. Boy, I'm really in a mood. Ubuntu 8.04 LTS is out. LTS stands for long-term support. And we're talking long-term support because Linux being new and cool and groovy, haven't used that word since the 60s, it's very cool. Cool I use a lot. Spell it with a K, but I use it a lot. Anyway, the long-term support will last from now until 2011 for the desktop version and 2013 for the server version. I've downloaded them both. I have it on my hard drive as ISO files. By the way, when you download an ISO file, you do know, don't you? Listen very closely. You can't just copy the ISO file over to a CD and have it work. No, you have to burn the file to a CD using a CD burning tool. So I encourage you to go out and get ImageBurn, ImgBurn, ImageBurn, and it has a cute little menu thingy there that would allow you to burn the ISO that you download from Ubuntu of Ubuntu 8.04.LTS, and you will then be able to use the CD. Now, the cool thing about the Ubuntu 8.04 LTS CD is that you can put it in your CD drive after, of course, you've burned it into a CD. You can take that then, you can boot off the CD, and you can test out Ubuntu without actually installing it on your hard drive. Of course, if all you have is Windows on your hard drive at the moment, I would encourage you to go ahead and install Ubuntu anyway, because Windows is lame. So, There you go. So this is the new version, and it's cool, and it's got lots of neat stuff, and I would encourage you to do that. Speaking of, next item, the lameness of Windows. Windows Vista, as we all know, is probably one of the lamer releases of Windows that has been released, except maybe for Windows ME, but Windows ME was perhaps the worst operating system of all time, so it's going to be hard to beat that. But I'm sure Microsoft will try. They're trying harder every day with Vista, for instance. It's pretty doggone close. And here's why John C. Dvorak thinks that Vista is a complete and absolute utter failure. By the way, John C. Dvorak is another curmudgeonly dude. He has his own program called Cranky Geeks, and every week they get together a whole bunch of cranky geeks, and they go, yeah, eh, at a lot of things, which of course means I love it. It's a great program, because they're all going, eh. Anyway, John C. Dvorak is really a cool dude, and he writes good columns, including April 1st columns, where he did all kinds of weird stuff. Check out his April 1st columns. Go back and check the archives. They're very strange. Anyway, he wrote a column this past week about the 11 pillars of Microsoft Windows Vista failure. Now, I'm going to go over his 11 pillars of failure. The pillars of failure. It sounds very impressive. Anyway, and then I will add a 12th, because there should be 12. You know, 12 is a dozen. A dozen is kind of an even number. 12 is also an even number, which is good because a dozen is 12, and that's an even number. Yes. So, here's his reasons. Number one, market confusion. From the beginning, nearly everyone moaned about the fact that there were simply too many versions of the OS for sale. Who needs all the variations? It's stupid, plain and simple. See, I like John C. Dvorak. He gets right to the point that Microsoft is stupid. I like that. Number two, code size. I've got two words for you. Too big. Enough said. Yes. Bloatware is a Microsoft feature. They put it in every product. Okay, number three, missing components. Yes. WinFS, the promised file system and a core pillar of Vista, isn't there. That means it's missing. That means they didn't do it. That means it's lame. So there. The promises regarding the development of the file system go back to 1991. This means that since 1991, they've been promising WinFS, and have they delivered? No. And are they not the biggest software development engine on the planet? Don't they have more money than most people and a whole bunch of people put together? Of course they do. And then you've got all the developers that are developing, and what are they doing? They're sitting around watching YouTube. That's what they're doing. They're sitting around watching YouTube instead of developing the file system like they should be. Can't blame them, though. YouTube's kind of fun. But still, I digress. Okay. Well, where was I at? Oh, yes, number four, laptop battery life drain. This was supposed to be fixed with special code and hybrid hard drives, HHD, but it's not. Number five, HHD fiasco. I'm still irked about being told with the HD industry that the benefits of the new generation of hard drives will make people flock to Vista. Right. Yes, ha. Believe that, I've got some land for you down in Florida I want to sell you. Okay, number six, bogus Vista-capable stickers. They were cute little stickers, and they were very colorful, but they were wrong. They put them on PCs that couldn't run Vista if they had to. If you had a gun to their head and say, buy this magazine or I'll shoot this dog, they still wouldn't. It refers back to a magazine cover many years ago that was kind of cool. Anyway, the point is that, you see, I forget where I was going. The Vista stickers, yes, that's where I was headed. The Vista stickers were wrong. A lot of those PCs were not capable of running Vista. They were just too underpowered, and Vista is too big of a resource hog. So there you go. Okay, number seven, missing drivers. It seems incredible that Windows drivers that worked with XP will not necessarily work with Vista. How does that happen? Okay, don't take away my stick. Give me the stick. He took my stick. How am I going to beat the floor if I don't have a stick? The Game Master is a very frustrating individual. I need to beat the floor because I just lost my whole podcast a few minutes ago. I'm just... Okay. Okay. I'm getting a hold of myself. Number eight, conflicting advice. There was no consistent advice for users about implementation, and Microsoft did nothing to help. Some people said that you should get a new computer only with Vista preloaded and not upgrade. Others said upgrades were fine. other upgrades. Thank you. He gave me my stick back. Now I can hit the floor and feel better. Okay. Sigh. Anyway, he also says that a promotional test CD-ROM of Vista would have been a cool idea, like those Nopix Linux disk. That would have been a good idea, too. I agree with that, but Microsoft is too lame to do that. Besides, that would involve actually giving something away. They're not going to do that. They're there to make money. Tons of it. More money than you have. Yes. Number 9. Excuse me a moment. There, that's better. I didn't want to do that right in the microphone. It would kind of freak you out. Anyway, number 9, XP Mania. I'm just in a weird mood now. You'd think that the world was in love with Windows XP. Everyone wants to... Ooh, I hit a little thing that went ding. Let me do that again. That's cool. Everyone wants to keep it on the market and make Vista look even worse. I'm losing it. Number 10, mediocre rollout, unlike other rollouts.